I'm glad you all came out tonight. A lot of people sick tonight, so we want to remember them in prayer, and we'll have a short time of prayer afterwards. But take your Bibles and turn with me to our text in 2 Timothy. We're in the process of gleaning. We're gleaning long here, but we're gleaning in 2 Timothy. And I hope and pray that God has used this to inspire and encourage us, especially where we're at now in the text where we're at, where Paul's dealing with the perilous times that shall come upon us. And actually, every generation of believers has proclaimed the perilous times is upon them. But I think in a way, that's true, because every generation of believers have had to suffer some sort of persecution. And so I believe this verse fits every generation. And we are facing perilous times, and it's good for us to learn how we should conduct ourselves as Christians in such perilous times. Because, as we'll see tonight, God's not so much interested in what we know as much as how much that knowledge produces an effect upon our lives, on our conduct and our behavior. Because that's the key of living successfully and triumphantly in perilous times, is not what we profess to know, but what can we live in the light or in the power of the knowledge that we profess to possess, if that makes any sense. And I hope and pray that you'll see that here in chapter 3 and verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now here's his exhortation. Listen closely. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. He tells Timothy and us about, if you're going to live godly in Christ Jesus, you're going to suffer persecution, and evil men and deceivers or seducers are going to wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And Timothy, believer, this is what you need to be reminded of. This is the exhortation you need to be able to be victorious and successful in the midst of such persecution and in the midst of such evil men and seducers. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Beloved, herein lies the scriptural remedy and divine means against persecution and the increase of evil men and seducers, namely, perseverance and endurance in the Christian life. And I want to emphasize that. In the Christian life. Not in the Christian profession. In the Christian life. Those that have a vain profession will always find themselves falling under these perils of the last days, whereas those that walk the talk, so to say, will be finding themselves being victorious. That's what he's talking about. Timothy, continue thou in. Okay? Perseverance. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. This continuing of the things which Timothy had learned and been assured of is more than merely a verbal defense of such truths. Many people, when they read this, and I've heard many preachers preach on it, they basically give you the sense that you have to have some kind of intellectual assent to these things to help you. He's not talking about that. He's not talking about a verbal defense of the doctrines of our holy Christian faith. Not a verbal defense of the things that we've learned and been assured of, but continue in the things. He's emphasizing live in those things. Walk in those truths. Persevere in those truths. It's an exhortation to live his life and to conduct his conversation in accordance to those things learned and assured of. Continue thou in. It's an active word. Okay? It's not a verbal defense of these things. We have a lot of people that verbally and very loudly defend what they profess to know, and yet their lives do not reflect what they profess to know. I think we'll all bear witness to that. We're all partially guilty in that. But the majority of Christians today will speak loudly of what they know, and yet when it comes down to living the ABCs, if I can use that for lack of a better term, of the Christian life, their lives do not reflect what their mouths are speaking. Paul's not saying that. He says, Timothy, continue thou in these things. Conduct your life according to those things that you've learned and been assured of. In spite of such persecution and the midst of such evil men and seducers, Timothy, continue in these things. That's how you're going to be successful. That's how you're going to be victorious. That's how you're going to make it through these perilous times, is by living a life that reflects, that shows, that evidences, that manifests, that proves you've learned these things and you've been assured of them. Beloved, the Bible emphasizes that practical Christianity from Genesis all the way to Revelation. And yet it's very lacking in many churches and sermons today. That accountability, that a responsibility, that requirement that God says, persevere in these things, walk worthy of thy vocation. Amen? But it's constantly in Scripture. It flows throughout Scripture. And I hope and pray that we'll see that tonight. There's how we're successful, beloved. We need to pray and diligently seek by God's grace to live our lives, to conduct our conversations in accordance to what we've learned and been assured of. God, I want these truths, like Luther said, I want your truths to triumph through me. To be such a part of my life that it is what conducts my life. Persevering in godliness and Christian behavior and conduct during such perilous times not only glorifies God, but proves the excellency and genuineness of grace received. I want to say that again. It proves the genuineness and the excellency of truly receiving grace. When we walk the talk, we glorify God. But it also proves to the world that we've truly received grace. Ye are the light of the world. Let your light so shine amongst men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That's what Paul's talking about. Timmy, you live godly in Christ Jesus. You're going to suffer persecution. Evil men and seducers are going to wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Timothy, this is the exhortation. This is what you need to be reminded of. In spite of all of that, if you're going to be victorious in the midst of all these things, continue thou in those things you've learned and been assured of. Let them continue to govern your life. Amen. And live the Christian life. Remember in the days of Noah, when God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, here he's saying perilous times shall come upon us. But in the days of Noah, when God saw the wickedness of men was great in the earth, the Bible says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It didn't stop there though. Because he bore this testimony in the very next verse. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. That's what Paul's talking about. If godly in Christ Jesus, continue thou in these things. So grace first enabled Noah, but look at the effects of grace in a wicked world. Beloved, so wicked, God says, I've had it. I'm going to destroy the world. And he did. In the midst of all that wickedness, the Bible gives this testimony of Noah. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord because it's all of grace. Yet that grace had an effectual work upon him because it said Noah was a just man. Perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. That's the same thing Timothy or Paul's talking about. Beloved, this is what we need to strive to do. We need to strive to be the Christians that we know the Scriptures tells us to be. We need to conduct ourselves in our conversations. We need to strive to have the fruits of the Holy Spirit, which is love and joy and peace and patience and long-suffering, brotherly kindness. We need to live the life of a Christian. Amen. In spite of persecutions, excuse me, and in spite of all these wicked and evil seducers, wicked men and evil seducers, that's the examples Scripture gives us. Excuse me. When Peter speaks of the coming of scoffers in 2 Peter, again, last days, perils. When Peter speaks of the coming of scoffers, where is the coming of your God? Where is your God? When he speaks of false prophets and the end of the world, he exhorts every true believer with these words. Seeing then that all these things, 2 Peter 3:11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, listen to this, what manner of persons? You see what he emphasizes? What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Peter's saying the same thing. What manner of person ought you to be? Beloved, so many Christians are living a defeated Christian life because they're not living, they're not continuing in those things they've learned. And beloved, it takes more than just simply saying, I've read a book and I know these things. Beloved, it's praying over these things. God, conform Christ more and more in Him. It's reading Scripture, giving time to Scripture, listening to the preaching of God's Word and praying that God's Word sinks deep down into my heart and has an effectual, efficacious work upon me. God, let me be the Christian I need to be. I want to live a godly person in this life. I want to be able to walk as a Christian ought to walk, because that's our victory. Beloved, that's our confidence in these perilous times. What manner of persons? That's a good word. What manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? The Scripture emphasizes, beloved, the importance of godly character and conduct in the midst of such perils, while condemning a mere verbal profession. For such, declares James, are hearers only and self-deceivers, remember? Don't be a hearer of the word only, but be a doer of the word. A hearer of the word deceives himself. He stands in the mirror, deceives himself that he's somebody, but he walks away, he quickly forgets. But a doer of the word, what did he say? James used it. He continues therein. Same words. Beloved, that's why we need to provoke one another to love and to good works as Christians. We need to encourage one another. We need to be able to be examples unto one another. We need to show the Christian love and charity and compassion and all the fruits of the Spirit, according to Galatians chapter 5. When we walk in that kind of conduct because the grace of God is working in us, we're going to be victorious in spite of all the persecution and in spite of all the evil men and seducers. This is the key. And this is what the Bible constantly exhorts us to. And this is what the Reformers and Puritans and even in the days of the Apostles and afterwards, church history, always exhorted Christians. It's a straight and narrow way. The world is at odds with us. And we've got to walk the Christian life. Because when we walk it, though it's narrow, it's victorious. It's a glorious life to live. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. In all these things. Well, if I'm not suffering those things because I'm in Christ, then I'm not a conqueror, am I? You ever look at that verse like that? It says we're more than conquerors in these things. That means if we're not suffering these things, we're not conquerors, we're being defeated. Because we live in a world where evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse. I mean, we see that everywhere in the media, in the news, and everything else, and it's getting worse. How do we respond to that? How do we react to that? What manner of persons ought you to be? And that's what we desire to be. We desire to be more like Christ. Amen? It's that song we always sing about being more like Christ. Amen? That we might be more of Him, that people might see Christ in us, that His grace and His virtue and His love and all He's doing inside of us would be so powerful and so effective in us that it shines forth, that others see that and they're moved by that, they're affected by that. I'm in the midst of reading Robert McShane again, and he's to the point now to where he went to a town, and it's a very vile, wicked town. Big industries all around, very vile and wicked town. I mean, they're mocking him, they're scoffing him, and he made it his diligent duty every day to go to every house and visit everybody, like we're attempting to do here. And he made it his duty to go to every house. And he said many people mocked him and scoffed him. He said, but after a while, they begin to see his gentleness, his kindness, his love, his hospitality, that he was truly a Christian that had these characters to him. And he said, though others scoffed him and mocked at him and everything else, there was others who respected him because he was a Christian in attitude and behavior. And And so it does play effect. We can't affect the community if we're not out in the community, right? When you're on the job and you're living your Christian life and people come up with all these things that are wicked and ungodly, sure, it might bring persecution on you if you stand up and say, well, I'm a Christian, I don't want to hear that, please don't say that. It might bring, but believe me, people respect other people when they have convictions. You might have some that scoff you, mock you, laugh at you. That's always a possibility. But still, at the same time, that's what he's talking about. Timothy, continue thou in these things that thou hast learned and been assured of. Our Lord always condemned a verbal profession only. Speaking of the Pharisees who boasted themselves of such intellectual assent to the truths of the law, yet fruitless in its effects, Christ declared this. Listen to what he says about their verbal profession. Listen to this in Matthew 23:3. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works. For they say and do not. That's an amazing statement. Christ says everything they tell you to do, observe it because it's according to the law, but don't do after their works. Because they'll say, and they don't live up to it. It's not an intellectual assent or merely a verbal defending of God's truth which Scripture demands and expects of us as Christians, but a lifestyle, a conversation which reflects and proves the reality of our truly learning and being assured of those things we have learned from Scripture. That's what Scripture emphasizes over and over and over again. God says, I don't want a verbal profession, but I want a life that is evident or proof that you've truly learned these things and that you've been assured of them. That God's Word take fruit in our hearts. And isn't that what we always pray when we read Scripture or sit under a sermon or God convicts us about a certain truth? We want to live in the light. We want to live in the power of that truth. I want to be able to live that kind of life. I want people to see my good works and glorify my Father which is in heaven. I don't want to put my light under a candle or under a bushel. I don't want to hide that. I want people to be able to see. This is what James says. James says, if you got faith, where's your works? He also says, if you want to see my faith, he says, you want to see my faith, watch my works. That's a pretty bold statement when you think about it. Most people say, oh, I don't want people to look at me. Scriptures tell us people should be seeing in us these works. You ever hear somebody say, well, they don't need to see you, they need to see Christ. Well, that's good, but the only way they're going to see Christ is by seeing that Christ's truths are working in us and changing and conforming us. Then they see. Then they'll glorify the Father. And every believer desires that. Look at 1 Peter, and I'll bring this to a close real quick. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 17, or 13, I'm sorry. Now listen, with that in mind, listen to what Peter says again in regards to all of what we've just said and what Paul's told Timothy and the verses we've read. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? Listen to the wording. But if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Listen to this. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Here again, here's the solution against all these persecutions. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you of the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that they falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. You following that? For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Did you notice the balance he puts there? Heart, answer, good conscience, good conversation, well-doing. You see, he's saying, you want to answer all these scoffers? Then do well. live according to what you've learned. Walk the talk. Live the life. I like how he words that. When they speak evil of you, they'll be ashamed to falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. The conversation is not just talking, it's the way you carry yourself, your conduct. They'll be ashamed when they see your conduct. Will people abuse that? Oh yeah, they'll try to. We worked on the streets for 14 years and people try to abuse our good conversation. We have to have wisdom in that as well. But it's our actions that speak louder than our words. And it's those actions wherein we find comfort and good. Why do you think Paul and his buddy, after they got stoned and they threw him out of the city, they arm in arm, they walked away rejoicing that they could be persecuted for Christ's sake? What would make them rejoice for that? Because they walked the talk. They lived the life. And they were rejoicing that they were being persecuted because of their works for Christ. Beloved, such good conversation and well-doing are evidence of the sincerity of the heart, meekness of wisdom, and good conscience toward God and men. Continue thou, Timothy, in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. Continue thou in those things. And then he takes us, and we'll go there next week, but he takes Timothy right, because I want to finish this chapter out, and so I can get into chapter 4. We won't go through all chapter 4, but we need to get in the beginning of it because it flows together. But he takes him immediately to the cause, to the root, to the origin of being able to live that kind of lifestyle. He said, because you've known Scripture, which makes you wise unto salvation. That's a blessing, amen. May God give us grace and mercy to continue. That's perseverance, endurance. Continue in the things we've learned and been assured of. Because if we do, beloved, we have the answer to the persecutions and an answer to the evil men and seducers. And God is glorified, and we will see people drawn to Christ by our conversations, by our lifestyles. May God give us grace to do that. Amen. May He encourage and strengthen us in that. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, again, we thank You for Thy Word. We thank You how it does encourage and challenge us. And Lord, this is a challenge which brings us great comfort and excitement. For Father, we desire to live a life which is glorifying to You. Father, I pray that God, You'd help us here at Grace Baptist Church. I pray that, Father, we would continue in those things that we've learned and been assured of, knowing Scripture, because that is what makes us wise unto salvation. And as we'll see in the closing, that, Father, it's good that a man can be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Again, we're reminded of the works, of the effects of Your truth in our hearts. They shouldn't be complacent. Father, if You work in our hearts by Thy truth, Father, they should be manifested in our lifestyle, our conduct, our conversation, our character, the way we carry ourselves. God, I pray that You'd give us grace. For Father, without You, without Christ, we can do nothing. May the Spirit of God hear our prayers. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.